Brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles this evening. Going back here to 1 Timothy, grateful to God how he continues grace for grace and grace upon grace in our lives. We're in that fourth chapter, and we left off in the sixth verse. And God willing, let's just jump right into it this evening. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Praise God. How simple, brothers and sisters. What are the things of a good minister? The Word of God. The Word of God. And thank you, Jesus, that we're here by grace tonight to speak truth in love, to preach the word of his grace, that we truly would be vessels to receive such praise and grace in our lives to him, that we would be the true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm grateful to God for that encouraging in our lives. But as we've read through this, verses 1 through 4, we understand that the Word of God is not forbidding people to marry. Somehow, that thinking that someone might be more holy or acceptable to God. And I hope we really understand that that's just more dirty self-righteousness. That's just more magnifying of the flesh, thinking that there is something that we can do to make us more pleasing to God. As it said as well, somehow that marriage, going on with that thought, that marriage is pleasing to God. We know that it's a thrill to the Lord when a couple is equally yoked together. It's glorious, isn't it? How wonderful to know that it truly is the greatest of types that we have in this natural life of what Christ will have someday with his wife. And to somehow disparage that, or to think that it would be somehow more pious or righteous. Now, Paul did say very clearly, and we talked about this, if we could remain as he did, he was not married. He wasn't saying that in any way, shape, or form, except that in that regard, if God has gifted you in that, and that is a gift, thank the Lord. And you are able to tend upon him without certain distractions that you do have by having a spouse, by having kids. We understand that. But those can be some of the greatest trials and godly distractions that have made me the man of God I am today. And you know what I'm talking about. See, he's perfect. You can't. He's just perfect. He knows us. Don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to fit in shoes that he has not given you. He's given you your shoes, and it's so precious. Those are the most magnificent shoes, because those are the shoes that will finish the course with a full joy. Do you believe that? Yes, and not only has he given you the shoes, he's given you the before-ordained good works that you should walk therein. I tell you, you talk about a layup by faith. But in flesh, I'll tell you, we're fighting all the way through, aren't we? But we fight the good fight of faith. Praise his name. And I'm thankful for this. But then we also read about abstaining from various foods to be more holy. And there's many religions that proclaim that kind of nonsense today. And in verse 4, it tells us nothing to be refused. Romans 14:14 says, call nothing unclean. Just receive it all in the name of Jesus. Thank him for it. Thank you, God. Thank you for this food. In Jesus' name. Praise God. See the simplicity? But you see, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And the remembrance, brothers and sisters, that we want to always be in remembrance of is that we're under grace. That the law and the ordinances that were against us have been nailed to the cross. Praise God. I was thinking about today's Christian hot button, and it seems more and more I get phone calls about this kind of thing. Christians wanting to celebrate the Jewish traditions, the feasts, you know, blowing the trumpet, whatever it might be. And it's laughable, cryable, because again, it's just, and really, God's precious people loving that fleshly feeling. And I've said that to many people, and they say, well, brother, how could you say that? Well, let's just turn for a moment. Again, God, just encourage us in Scripture. I know we know these things, but just that the Lord would point them out. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul dealing with these foolish Galatians. Here we go. And he says to them, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Think of how he starts that out. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Isn't that amazing? See, whom he has made free is free indeed. Turning to these things is a desire to put yourself back in bondage. It's been nailed to the cross. It's finished. Rejoice in that. That's so beautiful. And God is pleased. Because of that faith that, thank you, Jesus, that it is finished. Praise God for that. And then it goes on to say, ye observe days and months and times and years. Colossians chapter 2, go right over there. I'm sure many of you probably had a thought that's where we're heading. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. How wonderful! How many times a month I get to visit with people and correct that statement. Well, the law was given to give us a set of rules to live by. No, the Word of God tells you the law was given to tell you and to show you that you need a Savior. It shows you how you're guilty, you're dead in your trespasses and sin, that you could not. But he did. Freely gave himself for you. Became sin for you. Free indeed. Hallelujah. And then it goes on. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing. Over them in it. I love that. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Praise God, I live every day in a holy day. How about you? Because praise God, he's holy. Or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Thank you, God. How simple, brothers and sisters. But yet again, that's what our flesh obviously desires. Somehow, some way, to do something. And how many times again could I tell you, people coming in. And I appreciate the thought, in a sense. But be still and know that he is God. But it's always, what can I do? I really want to do something. I feel. Stop. Indigestion, whatever it may be, that's what you're feeling. Stop. The burning. Stop. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that wonderful? See, Mary took the better place, didn't she? She did. Don't bother her. Martha, you're precious. You're sweet. God, encourage us to always have that heart that is ready to help and to serve, all of those things. But that heart truly comes from sitting at the feet. It doesn't start there. It starts at the feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. These are the better things, hallelujah, that he's given us. Now, by grace, brothers and sisters, we tonight are ministers of Jesus Christ. And thank God that we're ministers of nothing else, because in the light of eternity, there is nothing else but Jesus. And I love that. And a good minister is nourished up on faith. And faith is hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not hearing man's thoughts or man's ideas, and it's not by feeling, but as the word of the Lord tells us here, it's in words of faith. Words of faith, the word, the very mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, is also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind, and I'm grateful to God how we have that, because he freely has given us that. God help us to take it. And good doctrine, as it goes on to say here. And there it is again. I love that. Good doctrine. Not winds of doctrine, not the devil's doctrines, but the one and only good doctrine, and that is the doctrine of Christ. And it says here that Timothy hath attained to it. And what that really means is that Timothy was faithfully following after it. He had traced it by God's grace. It is an exact, narrow way. But isn't it interesting as well that Paul, even though Timothy has this, Paul is encouraging him in it. Brothers and sisters, the power of God is his love. It's his love. Timothy knew this. Timothy had this. Timothy understood all of those wonderful paramount truths. Praise God. He had that. There was a gift that was upon his life as well, too. But as Brother Paul said, stir it up, honey. Stir it up. And what's going to stir this up? It's love. Lord, bring me the love. Show me this love. And I love how the word of the Lord says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What he knows, what he sees, and that knowledge is the intimacy between a husband and a wife, we understand. That's the love that it's talking about. That's the knowledge that it's talking about. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What he sees, what he knows, what he wants. Here it is. This is it. Praise God for that. And he's invited us into this again, all by his grace, and seeing that grace upon grace. And then 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Titus and in 2 Peter warn us of these fables that it speaks of here in verse 7. And in 2 Peter, it talks about them as cunningly devised fables. See, these aren't just random things. Let me tell you, when the enemy is allowed, he's very specific in what he's trying to do. He's trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's all he can do. That's what he does very well. And as God gives him opportunity to do that, these are cunningly devised fables. And think of how many years he's had to think about cunningly devised fables. He's good at it. The best. Yes. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a time when they wander after this one that has that power. Yeah, they do. They're going to believe that lie. Let me tell you something. This is nothing. I respect this because God tells me. I respect this, in a sense, this power that has been given. But I understand, if he be for me, who could be against me? I'm not ignorant of his devices. I understand that there be no powers that be but of God. So I'm thankful in all of that, but I understand in my own strength, I'm done. In my own might, in my own knowledge, I'm finished. But praise be to God, if he be for me, who could be against me? And this is what this is all about. But you think again about these cunningly devised fables that he has, intentionally derived by Satan himself, his doctrines. And as we've read already, his doctrines, what they do is they cause Christians to swerve from the doctrine, causes religious organizations and some of these churches that in years past used to preach the gospel of Christ, but now have departed, as we read last week, departed from the faith, brothers and sisters. This is what these doctrines of devils do. I appreciate it. Brother Copley speaks of the greatest of all maybe damaging fables there are, Galatians 3:1. when Paul has to really rebuke those Galatians, "O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" The most damaging fable, keeping the law somehow, causes us to find favor with God. Think of how many people that's downed. Countless numbers. Defeating people over and over. That's what that dirty self-righteousness does. But brothers and sisters, because there's so many endless winds of doctrine, it's just like all of those counterfeit bills that are out there. We can't concentrate on the counterfeits. We don't want to waste our time on that. By God's grace, we want to know the Word of God. We don't grow in all of the other religions and in what they say. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And this is what the Lord has encouraged upon our hearts, is to grow in this. And in growing in this, we understand, brothers and sisters, that the best way to always be in remembrance of this gospel is to preach no other gospel. Brother Paul said that in Galatians 1. Preach no other gospel. You preach my gospel that was given me of Christ himself. And that gospel will always be nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everything that was done, praise God, at the cross. And anything else, any other rosy or cheery thoughts, brothers and sisters, we are just wasting our time with fables. And that's exactly what it is. And God help us, we don't have much time, so we need to redeem the time. The word of the Lord tells us that. And in redeeming the time, we seek after godliness. And the things that are godliness, what godliness is, it's the word of God. And it's the word of God, it's the Bible working and alive in our lives. Inspired, brothers and sisters, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Fruit bursting from our lives. That's a mighty testimony. That's a minister. And we're going to read more about that's the life of a minister. We rejoiced in that on Sunday morning about being full of the Holy Ghost. The transformation where our eyes will be set. That we can be in the midst of such trial and chaos, brothers and sisters. But it doesn't matter. I see Christ. Praise God. That's the fullness that the Lord has for us. That's the fullness that he wants for us. But it's always going to come by the word of his grace. And thanks be to God, as we will read tonight too, doctrine, rightfully dividing the word of the Lord, allowing the Lord by his grace to connect the dots in the word of God. He chose the foolishness of preaching. Can you imagine that? That's what he chose. And in that, by God's grace, that's where the doctrine is preached. The whole counsel of God comes forth. I know that there's certain religions that are so pious, and I'm talking about Christian and large assemblies, that, well, we only start from the very beginning and we go verse by verse. That's how we know we're in the right way. Well, you know, what do you want me to start reading from Genesis 1:1? And we'll read through the 7th chapter tonight, and I'll get up and we'll read from 8:1. Do you see where, brothers and sisters, God has encouraged us in his spirit. You rightfully divide the word of truth. And it's through the foolishness of preaching. This will come forth. And this transformation will be made in our lives because of the love and the word of his grace. I'm so grateful for this. I've just been rejoicing in this for past week, especially in this precious scripture. But 8 through 10, it talks about this bodily exercise. What that's getting at is things that we can do physically, religious demonstrations. And yes, that includes what we've already read, forbidding to marry or abstaining from meats. But how about if we could go out and build all the houses for humanity we could do? Or how many meals we could serve in a soup line? How about if I could speak with the tongues of men and angels, yet I have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. Amen? Amen. This is what this is getting at, brothers and sisters. It profits little. But my goodness, we're in the time of the double portion. We want to be that hundredfold by God's grace inheritance. Amen? Amen. Praise God, that double portion to him. Not just a son, but as that brother encouraged my heart, a daughter-in-law as well. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, this is about godliness. It's about the promises of God. It's about growing up into the promises of God. It's about growing up into Christ in all things. And that's why the word of the Lord here tells us it's profitable unto all things. That's what it's telling us there eighth verse there. And we know that these things are true because it is the word of the Lord. And you think about, as it says, profitable unto all things, the life now. And yes, it is. It's profitable that Christ in me, the hope of glory, living in me now, or that which is to come, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us in the ages to come. And brothers and sisters, absolutely, that is faithful and acceptable and pleasing to God. And that is the reason that Paul concludes and he says, oh, I'm so thankful to Jesus. I labored and I suffered. And as he said, I labored and suffered more than ye all. And praise God, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Amen, it was. See, Paul had a vision. Paul knew. Paul, by grace, trusted in the promises of God. And the promises of God convinced his heart that the temporal sufferings of this life were not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. It's not worthy to be compared. It's not even really worthy to be uttered, even thought. Because this is the word of the Lord and it's true. And yet, often that's part of the good fight of faith, isn't it? That, Lord, I am being pressed out of measure. This is a very uncomfortable, this is a strange land. But I look into the word of the Lord and I understand, Lord, you said, think it not strange. See, isn't that amazing? See, this thinks it's one way. And this, praise God, is completely opposite. And that's the word of the Lord. My ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. That's why I need his mind. Amen? Will you talk about take me away? I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. Praise God. That's the vision I want to have. I want to have that vision, that eternal glory vision. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Praise God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And praise God, he's preaching that word to called according to his purpose. People that love him all by the grace of God. Believe it. And that faith is so immediate. Faith is so delivering, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Faith is immediate. It might not take you physically out of the trial, but I'll tell you what, it'll take your mind mentally completely out of it like that. It's a peace that passes all understanding, isn't it? Don't understand how you're doing it, Lord, but thank God you're doing it. I don't want to think about it. I just want to believe it. If I analyze it, it was too late. But I believe it because it's the word of the Lord. We wouldn't be here at a Bible study if we did not believe that God is real. He's real. He's mighty. He is very God, a very God. And he is I am. Alpha, Omega. And praise Jesus that's what it is. That's the reality of it all. And he gives us this love book, his word. Believe me. Come unto me. Amen. Rest. I will give you rest. And not just a rest, but the very rest of the Father. You want it? Cease from your own works and enter into the rest of God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Got our attention again. He never left those hands, but now we're snuggling up. I can sense what God is doing tonight. But Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, is so wonderful. Because as it goes on to say here, and we'll go ahead and read the 10th verse. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. See, he's living. Living, living. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That Savior of all men. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Awesome. But then to know that he's there, he's the Savior of of all men. There's no other Savior. He's it. He died for the sin of all men. It's done. Do you realize that? On that cross, He took all sin. He took it all. He did. He's just like a vacuum. I took it all. I love you so much. The most wicked of wicked. I took it all. And that's me and you. But He took it. And I can't fathom that. But to think of the great love wherewith we are loved. This is that love. That He took it. And here it is for everyone. I've read this to many a sinner. This is how much Jesus loves you. You're denying Him right now. You've mocked Him. You've despised Him. You don't want to believe anything. And here He's told you. He's the Savior of all men. He is. He is your Savior. Will you acknowledge Him as your personal Savior? Just how loving He is. I mean, it's right there. The threshold. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. From death to life everlasting. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Praise His name. Amazing love. But see, brothers and sisters, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. We understand that it was the grace of God. And it is by that grace that He gave His faith. And it's so sweet that He says, yes, I'm the Savior of all men, but specially to them. That means chiefly, above all. Aren't we thankful that He is I am to us? Aren't we thankful that I don't have to wait someday to be one of those knees that are going to bow and confess that He is Lord? Praise the Lord, I love to do it right now. Praise God that You're my Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, verse 11. These things command and teach. It's very important. This is a charge now. It's behold, take note. Again, Brother Paul, that sergeant of arms, blowing that trumpet. Brothers and sisters, arise. Awake to this. Don't let this pass you by. Don't be caught up in the myrrh as that precious Shulamite. Don't miss it. It's a moment of time. I'm at the door. I'm ready for you. Will you open up to me? But it's not at a more convenient time. It's now. It's now, Timothy. I'm pursuing you right now. And gives me chills thinking about this, how God comes at us, and thanking the Lord how this command is encouraging us, grow in this godliness. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is His life. This is this Holy Ghost teaching that the Spirit, as Brother Paul says here, has laid out through me to you. It's vital. It's essential if you're going to be a vessel of honor. It's vital. It's essential if you're going to be truly the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Amen. I'm so thankful that we have such a sweet time with Jesus. I'm so thankful that we have a time. It is. It's a courtship time. It's engagement time. It's a happy time. It's fun in a lot of ways. I know that there's a lot of different thoughts in that, but you know what I'm talking about. When you're with your love, it's fun. When you're with your love, it's fun. I don't care how anybody else wants to say it. I'm thankful it is. I'm having a good time in Jesus. Praise His name. But brothers and sisters, even in that fun, even in that joy, even in all of that, it's the most serious time there could ever be. Isn't it? It's a sobering time. Amen? It's awake. It's alive. It's a fervency. God help us. That this word encourages us that at the same time of this joy of exuberance, there is such a time of, it's a solemn time. It's a serious time. It's a moment of time. And God help us to redeem the time. Amen? Amen. And this is what he's getting at here with Timothy. So wake up. And in verse 12 he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We'll stop there. Verse 12, Timothy, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. You've been given the best, son. Go after it. Apprehend it. It's apprehended you that I may apprehend what's apprehended me. Go after it. Live abundantly. Live Christ in you to the fullest potential and never stop. I always appreciate, and I've told that a few times of Brother Hill as we went up on that last fishing trip up to Wyoming. There he was, I believe, about 92, 93 of age, and Chubb was driving that car, and I was sitting right next to him, and he was in the middle of the back seat, and I was over at the window, and there was the river over across the way, and he yelled right through my ear, Chubb! We need to get back and fish that river. After my head quit ringing, I smiled. I just shook my head. I'm looking into the eyes of a six-year-old kid that happens to be 92 years old. And I looked at him. I said, Grandpa, how are you like that? How are you like that? And he grabbed me. You remember how he could grab you? Boy, did he grab me. He said, Son, I've never felt old. And then I thought, okay. And then he really pulled me close. And he said, son, never stop learning. And this is what Paul is telling to Timothy right now. Never stop. Never stop. Hallelujah! Never stop. Do you realize that all the types and shadows have not been revealed? There's more. Oh, but I read so-and-so's book, and that's all of them. I feel sorry for you. There's more. There's much the more. You're holding in your hands the word of the Lord, which will endure forever. Heaven and earth, everything is going to pass away. Here it is. How deep you want to go. Amen? It's all there. Beyond. I'm not going to stop by God's grace. Praise God. The much, the more. I believe it's there every day. And by my spirit, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. I'm telling you, the other night, he didn't let me go to sleep till 3 in the morning again. And I had to tell him, well, Lord, I know my body. I'm going to have a headache tomorrow. And then I just stopped and I said, oh, Lord, help me. I did have a headache that next day. But he took it away in the afternoon because I knew he'd come in. But boy, was that headache worth the while. Oh, the things that he wanted to talk to me about. As Brother Ty says, on Israeli time. He still hasn't got that clock right. I appreciate that. But he's telling Timothy, son, go get the double portion. We're in the prime of it, and we are too. We're in the prime of it right now, brothers and sisters. And this really has nothing to do with physical age. Yes, seek thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We know that. But spiritual perfection, brothers and sisters, that completion, that bridal one, is being offered to us right now. So the word of the Lord says, redeem the time. Make it count. We are in season for God's best right now. By grace, the word of the Lord tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. How could we neglect so great salvation? And as it says right before there, how are we going to escape? Praise be to God. I'll tell you one thing. When he's ready, by his grace, Lord, I'm yours. You know, take me out of here. Now, again, to be with the Lord. But there's many a fringe benefit when I say goodbye, world, goodbye. Even though I won't even say that. But praise the Lord. Want to escape like that. Want that first trumpet rapture. But here's the evidence, as we started here, of the man that's truly after God's own heart, the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and truth. They are examples, as it says here in the 12th verse, the examples to believers. And how precious. This is a joint that richly supplies the body. And here's how it happens. It's all by the grace of God. But the very first thing, the example of believers in word. In word. Isn't that awesome? Believers in word. See, this is a life that speaks truth and love. This is speaking of a readied wife whose speech, as we read in the word of God, is comely. This is one whose words are a salve. These are the ones, brothers and sisters, this is talking about, again, a good minister. Can you imagine that? It's not just talking and, well, that was it. See, I got to go. Oh, no, 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 no. We're talking about a vessel adding to the usefulness of a husband. This is what this is about. This is speaking to the Timothys. I believe by God's grace there's many of them sitting here tonight. Amen. Amen, amen. This is the word of the Lord. And it says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. I do not want to be a turkey that picks another to death. Amen. Amen. Then it goes on to say, in conversation. So see, it believers in word, hallelujah, but now in conversation. That means in our manner of life, in our conduct. As the word of the Lord tells us, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. This is the follow-through of our lives, brothers and sisters. It is. There's a follow-through. Praise God. And I'm thankful to the Lord, all of the things that he's kept me from in our lives. But brothers and sisters, it's more than just saying, okay, you know, I appreciate this. A brother and I were talking about this today. It's more than just like paying my taxes. Oh, I've been faithful to my wife. I've raised my kids well. I've worked real hard. Praise God for all that. Don't get me wrong. That's not a light thing. That's wonderful. But we're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the passion for the body of Christ. We're talking about ones truly that will marry Jesus, that love the head as the body. Amen? See, I'm thankful how God convicted me of, yes, not to me only, but to all them that also that love his appearing. And so many will say, oh, I love the appearing of Jesus. I love the appearing. Who wouldn't love the appearing of Jesus as a Christian? But do you love his appearing now? And as he encouraged my heart, honey, it's in the saints. Do I love you? I mean love you. With the love of God. This is the minister, Timothy. You want to be a ministering saint? I do. By God's grace, that's what he wants from our lives. And it's not in word only. It's in a manner of life. It's our lives, brothers and sisters, surrendered, magnifying and glorifying God. Praise the Lord. Amen. That there would be ones that take note, that inquire of you, that ask that question about the hope that lies within you. I've never had anybody ask me that. Well, come on. That's an encouragement of the Lord. It's not a benchmarker, it's just what happens. It's called the transformation of the sons of God. People take note. They see a peace that passes all understanding when you're in a lion's den. They see you treated unfairly, maybe. They see you actually even make the greatest of mistakes, but yet you don't consume yourself in that guilt, in that self-shame. You say, oh no, he took all that guilt and shame for me on the cross. And you rise up. testimony after testimony in this place. It's awesome. It's not the life that says, oh, well, the grace of God. No, no, no. It's the life that says, oh, thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. I know I messed up big time. I know I was absolutely, completely unfaithful, but unbelieving, denying. Yet he abides faithful. Yeah. Yes. And then divine, transforming, incredibly powerful grace takes you. Praise the Lord. All right. So in manner of life. In charity, obviously love. And how appropriate, following right after our manner of life. Because see, brothers and sisters, we can get into that manner of life thing as a duty, or somehow our obedience is because I have a duty to do it. I want a wife that loves me. Well, I'm your wife. I've got to do this. Yikes. Amen? Think about our husband. I just want to do it, honey. I don't have to, but I have to because I just love you so much. Is that kind of like the Lord causing me to will and to do of his good pleasure? Amen, it is. Praise God. By my spirit. That's that holy love. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost shedding that love of God abroad in our hearts. How wonderful. And then, brothers and sisters, see, out of that love, there's such thankfulness. It causes us to be willing to submit, to have him perform anything in us. See, love is genuine. Love is genuine because it's the grace of God. You can smell the self-righteousness pretty quick. You know what I'm talking about. By God's grace, isn't it wonderful to smell the genuine love of God? Oh, you talk about sweet smelling. My goodness, there's nothing sweeter to the Lord. But then it goes on to say, now in spirit. My goodness, I didn't realize all this ministering things that happen and transpire in our lives, huh? But in spirit, this is talking about ministering in our lives that comes by the Holy Ghost, the amplified love. This is what the Spirit does, that, my goodness, there's an anointing that happens. Can you imagine? All the fruit pouring forth. This is the life that is powerful in tenderness. Amen. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. You become powerful in tenderness. Can you imagine that? That doesn't sound very powerful, but it is. It's incredibly powerful. Powerful in long suffering. Powerful in meekness. That's incredible stuff. Powerful in a passion and an anointing that encourages other people. Amen? Yeah, that's what ministering is. Not just words. I could speak with the tongue of men and angels. If I don't have the love of God, it profits nothing. Those words are just going to die out. It will fall flat. Lord's taught me that long time back. That's why I'm telling you absolutely. It's just pouring out. It's not, you know, crying out to God, pleading, God, please help me. I'm going out here to talk again tonight. If it comes to that, I guess it comes to that. But it's truly all the time, but especially before coming out here. It's just the power of the Holy Ghost. This is yours. Let this be a vessel that gets completely out of the way. Fill it up and pour it out. I don't know what's going to come out, but I know it's going to be the word of the Lord because it's in Jesus' name. I believe that. Completely confident. I believe it. And he does it. And that is the anointing, brothers and sisters, in ministering. And then it says in faith. See, not just mere words, but believing. This is a life that abounds in hope, abounds in pleasing God. See, again, we can speak words, but brothers and sisters, the word works effectually in them that believe. It's like that doctor. I always remember that when my brother was doing his little stint about health and He went to that doctor, what do they call those, like a dietitian and all that type of thing. He was going to tell you how to get healthy. And so he would sit with him and he would consult his patients. Now, this was before there was the non-smoking day. This guy was overweight and he smoked, and people would come in there and he'd say, well, you need to quit smoking. And you could smell the cigarettes in his office. And he was a very heavy set guy, and you need to lose weight. You're too fat. My brother just used to sit there and shake his head and think, what in the world? What kind of testimony is that? He might be able to read it right out of the book, and yep, see, it's good for you to do this and good for you to do that. I don't do that at all, but this is what you need to do. Pray for me. I need to believe the Word of God too. Amen? Amen. In faith, believes. A life that's truly alive. And a life that's truly alive in faith, you're going to see that life grow. And what a ministering that is as you grow up in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Growing more in Christ, in Him. And then finally, how wonderful it says in purity. It finishes it out that way. And I think, wow, in purity. This is the heart of the chaste virgin to Christ. Purity. I love it. The wedding bells go off in my heart. This is a heart, again, that loves the body as the head, that wouldn't bring any reproach or stumbling. It's edifying beyond. There's no glory in saving the cross. This is a life that is completely transparent. They only see Jesus. This is that wife that all of that glory, that covering upon her, it's all Him. It's beautiful. He covers me. Yeah, that's the glory and that's the purity. She loves Him so. She magnifies Him so. And in that, because of that grace and that anointing in her life, she becomes and is His glory. It's so wonderful how that does. And that's all, again, this magnificent grace of God. Verse 13 tells us, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And we'll wrap this up, but I do want to finish this chapter. So it says, basically, read the Scriptures. Wonderful. Encourage yourself in them as David says. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and this is how we do it, by the God's grace in this word. Rightfully divide it. And then this doctrine, brothers and sisters, this is the teaching. This is the connecting, as we said earlier, of the dots of the deep things of God. Meditate on the proposal by the Holy Ghost at the well, and meditate on it over and over, brothers and sisters. Let it expand in your life. Amen? It's like I talk about those love letters. You ever get a love letter? Did you just read it once? Well, then it wasn't a love letter. Amen? True. When you got a love letter, you read it, analyzed it, put it upside down, smelled it, put it on your head, whatever you need, you loved it. Here is the love letter. This is it. Get excited about the Lord like that. Do you good. But that's what it is. These are the love letters that He has given to us. And over, and don't neglect it. Don't be careless with it. It's our prized possession. It's the crown. It's the wedding ring. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You've got it. Now cherish it. That's the purity, see? That's that chaste virgin to Him. That's that love. And again, it's not of us, it's of Him. Isn't it? You know that. Because there's some awful times where it feels so deserty and a dry and thirsty land and all of these things. And then it's all back to, Lord, You are the one that is faithful and true. This is Your plan. This is Your purpose. This is Your provision. This is Your power. A little lump of clay. Praise God. It's all You. It's all You. Praise His name. Get it? I'm getting it. Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, as it says here, this is the gift, as Paul's telling Timothy, and it's in thee. And we've been blessed with it. It's in us. It's all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory. This divine grace has been given to us, and we have this. And God help us not to neglect so great salvation. We have been gifted the better thing. And as Paul says here, stir it up, nourish it, meditate on it. Think of that lover in those love letters. Give yourself, as it says here, wholly to it. Wholly, all. Man, again, the wedding bell's going off when giving yourself wholly to that. Everything. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And David did. But we have a better thing. My goodness, Lord, quicken my heart. A wife to a husband, completely giving to you, not holding back, no delay. As that sister said, I will go. I'm going now. And as I said, I kind of smiled with the Lord. She was on the camel as the servant was turning around. And she said, well, let's go. She wanted to get there. And what a windfall it will be, because that will be perceived and seen by all that she is a readied wife. And that's what it is, that thy profiting in that 15th verse may appear to all. It's not showing off us. It's the thankfulness. It's the glory of God magnifying himself in our lives. And what a testimony it is. And then finally, that 16th verse. And I appreciate your patience tonight to get it through this chapter. But it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And all I can think is, one more time. Isn't it amazing how he keeps doing it? You talk about a lover, honey, here. Honey, here. Honey, here. And see, that loving, that love, that passionate, fervent, first love, obviously coming through Paul, so evident in his life, the Holy Ghost speaking one more time. He cares for you, Timothy. Jesus cares like nobody else. He wants you, Timothy, to win God's best. All that you come in contact with, Timothy, have a heart that they win God's best. Don't just be one that will pass through and, as we've talked about before, be a birther. No. Nourish them. Meditate on it. Encourage them. Give them the whole counsel of God. I want them to be my bride, son. As Brother Paul said, I withheld nothing from you. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't try to figure out what somebody needs. Just give them the gospel. Preach the word. Quit trying to strategize. You plant and water. That's pretty simple. God gives the increase. Amen. See the doctrine as he goes back to again. See the doctrine, the teaching of yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. The mystery revealed to us, brothers and sisters, that Christ will have a bride and the Father has sent the Holy Ghost to seek her out in this age. Continue in it. And I love this, because that will save thyself and them that hear thee. Boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a saving. I talk about a saving. I rejoice about a saving. I'm talking about a saving from the tribulation of the Philadelphia company in Revelation 3. That's a saving. And I want others to hear that because of the love of God. Praise the Lord. And by God's grace, I'm thankful to the Lord, of the different ones that the Lord has put me in contact with to preach the whole counsel of God to. And there's some that want to go that way, and there's some that don't want to have anything to do with it. They're nothing personal, not angry, not mad at all. But those ones that don't want to go on, a lot of times they just want to keep sucking up your time. Oh, I want to be with you, but I don't want to talk about the deep things of God. Don't have time for that, guys. I love you. I love you dearly. I have a man that almost calls me 3-4 times a week. He wants to get with me and get with me. And I keep telling, you know where to get with me. 1701 South Sherman. That's where we get together. That's the time we got. We've had enough lunches. It's time to go. Sometimes I think, Lord, I spent one night too long there, didn't I? Don't want to do that. It's time to move on. I feel sorry for him, I do. Not because I'm better in any way, but how good this is. But this is what it is, brothers and sisters, that we would have a life that is not wasted, but a life that is filled with all the fullness of God. As the Word of God tells us in Ephesians, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, complete, finished with a full joy, the mature sons of God, someday readied to be made known to all. That I have loved thee. I love to know that I am loved of Him. I love to know that I have a calling upon my life. In that finishing, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. I love that, and I believe you do too. So let's go on. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.